playing knothole baseball when I was growing up, I was typically the right fielder. Do you know what that means? Apparently you do. If you're the kid who's put in right field, there's a number of reasons why. I actually thought I was a pretty good athlete and probably could have played shortstop, just never got the chance. Don't know why they didn't put me at first base. It's a little taller than the other kids, but right field. And I guess most of it, and I remember a couple different incidences, has to do with the fact that you hear the ball come off the bat, haven't quite picked the ball up yet in the air, searching for it, and there it goes. I didn't know I was nearsighted. So about the age of sixth grade, I finally, because I was always squinting and wasn't writing anything down sitting in the back of the classroom, got checked out and needed glasses. And you go, that's how everything's supposed to look like. You just assume that at a certain distance, things are blurry. And that's how they're going to stay. And then you put on a pair of glasses and you go, wow, how about that? We assume that seeing means clarity. That's how we work in the world. We assume that being able to see clearly means understanding clearly. And in fact, knowing, being able to decide rightly. To be able to see clearly is to be able to see something when it comes off the bat, to judge and react correctly. But that's not exactly true. Our gospel today points out that physical seeing is no guarantee of seeing clearly or correctly. Our gospel today, our readings today, in fact, give us something of a Christian eye exam. Has everybody gone through an eye exam? You know, when you're nearsighted, of course they go, can you see? I was at the point where I couldn't see the big E. So they sit you in the chair and they go, which letter can you see down to? And you say, none of them. And then, of course, you have to go better, worse. 1, 2, 3, 4, right? For us, the eye exam begins at the beginning of the gospel. Whose sin was the cause of this man's blindness? Obviously, it had to be his parents. Jesus says, you don't see the reality at all. God doesn't work that way. God hasn't punished anybody here. So the first thing to see clearly is that we as Catholics, and we'll hear it said, it's said all the time, everything happens for a reason, but we as Catholics do not believe that. We do not hold to everything happens for a reason, because that makes God the author of everything that happens, as if somehow even evil is part of God's real plan for us, or sorrow, or hurt. What we say as Catholics is that God can bring reason out of everything that happens. So even out of evil, God can bring good. Even out of confusion, God can bring clarity. God brings reason out of everything that happens. Not everything happens for a reason. So when the Lord says, this man's blindness will serve to glorify God, it's not that God set him up for a life of blindness so that in this one moment the Lord could make use of him. What it does mean is that the evil in the world, both physical evils and moral evils, are going to be the occasion for God to show his power, his love, his forgiveness, and the extent to which his love will go on the cross. And the question is, do we see that? In our own lives, when horrible things happen, even like this morning down the street, what do we see? How do we interpret that? When crushed, broken, fractured relationships, people disappoint us, all these things that take place in our lives, what in fact do we see? Do we see those as an opportunity to love as God loves, or those opportunities to take offense, to be bitter, to call upon a justification for our stance in the world vis-a-vis this other person. Everything that happens as Christians, we're to see in the light of the gospel, in the light of the cross, in the light of the resurrection, in the light of God's overall plan for calling us to be His presence in the world and to bring the light, not the darkness. That's what Paul is getting at. Our Christian eye exam this morning could be as simple as, who are we disappointed in and why? Who is, in a certain sense, not met our expectations? And why do we hold that against them? In what ways are my heart holding on to things of this world that are unhealthy and in no way bring me closer to the Lord? In what way is my life, in terms of how I see it and the value of it, informed by the gospel or informed by the world? It's an interesting thing to see how the world continually entices us to not think or to not see in light of the gospel. You go on the internet, you pull up, even to get to your email, let's say it's Yahoo. Up comes the Yahoo page. There must be 15 news items there that have to do with what? Fashion, celebrities, scandal, gossip. Wants to kind of shape how we see the world and ourselves. If you don't have these things, you're not prosperous. If you haven't done these things, you're not responsible. If you don't think in this way, you are not enlightened. So it's a continual effort by the world to make us see through their eyes. It's a continual effort of the church to come here on Sundays and see through the eyes of the Lord, through the eyes of the gospel. So again, this Sunday, we hear a call to walk in that light. These examinations that we are supposed to do as Christians, we could call them scrutinies. We undergo our own scrutiny. We examine ourselves. This morning we have another scrutiny for those who are entering the church. And the idea of the scrutiny is to pray for the grace to see clearly. That's also our prayer this morning. So, as we pray these prayers for those who are entering the church in just a moment, we can make them our own. We can ask the Lord to help us see clearly, to help us be able to scrutinize what values motivate our actions, our attitudes, shape our heart. And let us ask the Lord for the grace this morning to know who in fact gives sight. What, in fact, is the reality that we are called to live in Christ? And what, in fact, the Lord hopes that we see day in and day out in our brothers and sisters, especially those who make the crosses so available to us, so much an opportunity to love at a deeper level, so much of an opportunity to bring good and reason, like God, out of everything that happens. We are called to see the world and to imitate the Lord and to be the very person that others point to and say, no matter what happens, they bring goodness and a blessing into that situation, and everybody can see that.